This is a supplement to the Gospel of John.
This is going to be an advanced teaching for Kedulous people. We've already covered before on the Gospel of John. And you go back to other tapes according to the Gospel of John. And we know just to do a summary, but we're going to cover a specific area today. John 1:28 to chapter 4, verse 3. As we said before, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what you've got to realize is that all men were supposed to come to the three feasts each year. And we know with Yahushua and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he was only there once. And John, he's there three, four times. And so we've got to say Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the literal. Why would John have to be a figure? Because it contradicts the literal. And so we're going to find out that if you take it literally, it's going to contradict it. So it has to be put into the format of a parable. So a parable, which we can see, somebody want to read Luke 8:10?
You mean from here?
No. But this shows you that people know this, and Bible, anybody who's read the Word, who has done any intense reading, realize that there is something definitely wrong with the Gospel of John. It can't be taken literal, and it can't be unified with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which we've done before. So we'll show the significance on that. Go ahead and read about parable.
And he said, "Unto you hath it been given to get to know the sacred secrets of the kingdom of Elohim, but unto the rest in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this.
Oh, that's all right. So really, the parable was when our eyes get open. Many people don't want their eyes opened. All right. And so it's better to keep them shut. And we know that with the Apostle Paul when he was in 1 Corinthians. He says, one says, "I'm Paul, I'm Apollos, I am, are you not fleshly? Aren't you cardinal Christians? You know, I can't give you meat. You're not ready for meat. You're ready for milk. All I can give you is milk." So the majority of Christians drink milk. They can't have meat. And actually, most of the pastors also. So, for this to be unusual to us, we should be shocked that we should have known this, in my particular case, 50 years ago. I should have known this. If you've done any kind of search, you're going to find out this is common knowledge, but nobody's going to address it. So E.W. Bullinger commentaries, nobody else is going to address it. But nevertheless, it's true. And if our eyes are open, and then if somebody tries to explain that to us later on, well, our eyes already been opened. We already know this. And it's only for people who are mature, who can handle truth. So, let us begin. And Matthew 3, 13.
Matthew 3 what?
13. No, it's not according to this. This is just an illustration. As you can see, Matthew, Mark, and Luke coordinate all the way through. You can have a situation where it is not referred to in Matthew or Mark, like in Luke, the widow's son was raised from among the dead on the briar. That's only recorded in Luke. But it does not contradict Matthew or Mark.
Right.
So it's just new information. So there's information. As long as it doesn't contradict, because the word can't contradict itself. So this was an illustration that people realize how Matthew, Mark, and Luke agree.
The synoptic gospel.
Yeah, the synoptic gospel. And as we know, John should have never been with the four gospels. It should have been, you should have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Acts agree. And John should have been put before the book of Revelation. And as we know, Acts agrees. You know, if Christ, you know, this is off the subject, but if Christ had been to Jerusalem nine times, you know, three times every year, then everybody would have known who his apostles were, because his apostles were with him. Everybody would have known who Christ was. And so when you're looking in the book of Acts, you find out that the high priest don't know who these guys are. nobody can identify the apostles. And, well, that doesn't make sense at all, because they've been there for 3.5 years. Everybody would have known who Kenneth Copeland was, or anybody else on their face. So you have to see Acts agrees with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It really ties in with Luke, as we've done before. But John is in a place all by its own, self. So we're going to see, okay, the sequence of events and Christ entering the ministry. What are the sequence of events? And we're going to see right through this. We all know this. He gets baptized by John the Immerser, and then what happens? Where does he go?
In the wilderness.
He goes in the wilderness. Doesn't happen in John. You know, there is no wilderness. And so we know in Matthew, Mark, we're going to see he gets baptized by John. He goes into the wilderness for how long?
40 days and 40 nights.
And then we're going to see that John the Immerser is taken captive when he comes into Galilee. And then Yahushua comes into Galilee and begins his ministry. These are just the simple events. And we're going to verify that in Matthew 1:9-14.
So Matthew 1?
Chapter 1, yeah. Sorry, did I say something else? Matthew 3. Yeah, that's Mark. Matthew 3. And remember, Yahweh did this. So there's either two things. Is the Gospel of John doesn't belong in the Word of Yahweh, or it belongs in the Word of Yahweh, and it's in one large parable that we have taken literal, which it cannot be. Like it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean the teaching is any less different. Parable, figures of speech, brings more emphasis. But 3:13, then cometh Yahushua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be immersed by him. So we see that. But he would have hindered him, saying, I have need by thee to be immersed, and dost thou come unto me? But Yahushua answering and said unto him, suffer me now, even for thus become of us, fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Yahushua, having been immersed, straightway went out from the water, and lo, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim, or Spirit of Yahweh, descending like a dove upon him, and lo, a voice out of the heavens, saying, this is my Son, the Beloved, whom I delight. Now, look at, let's see here, 4:1-2. And what happened? Then, as in time, Yahushua was led into the wilderness by the Ruach to be tempted by the adversary. And so we know that. And then 11:12, after the temptation, then the adversary leaving him, and lo, messengers came near and began ministering to him. And hearing that John had been what?
Delivered up,
he retired into Galilee and forsaken Nazareth. You know, so we know that his home was Capernaum, and he was raised in Nazareth, but his home was Capernaum. Okay, Mark agrees with that. Matthew, let's go to Mark 1. Verses 9-14. And it came to pass in that day, those days, that Yahushua came from Nazareth to the Galilee and was immersed into the Jordan by John. And John's name is really Yohanan, which means Yahweh's favor. And straightway, as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens rending asunder, and the Ruach as a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, thou art my Son, the Beloved, in thee I delight. And straightway, okay, time, the Ruach urged him forth into the wilderness. Okay, so we know that. And, and then 14, right, goes right into the wilderness, and then goes right into out of the wilderness. And after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the glad message of Yahweh. Okay. Wilderness, go to Galilee, John's been delivered up. Luke 21.
Okay, just a minute.
Or 21, sorry. 21 and 22. You want to read that, Aaron?
Luke 3:21.
Yeah, 3:21 and 22.
Now it came to pass when one and all the people were immersed, Yehoshua also, having been immersed and being at prayer, heaven was open, and the Ruach HaKodesh descended in bodily appearance as a dove upon him. And a voice out of heaven came, Thou art my Son, the Beloved, in Thee I delight.
Now if we go to 4 verse 1,
the temptation. And Yehoshua, full of Ruach HaKodesh, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Ruach into the desert 40 days, being tempted by the adversary. He did eat nothing in those days. Okay, no.
Yeah, okay, so we've got that, 14 and 15. And Yahushua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report went out among the whole of the region concerning him. So it doesn't mention John here. Let me see here. Oh, and the other thing too is, let's go back to 3:23. How old was Yahushua when he started his ministry?
About
30. So he was not 30 years old. I heard a Ken Copeland said he was 30 years old. I mean, this is just ridiculous. The only place he's going to do it is going to, he was about 30. So that means he was not
quite.
He wasn't 30.
He was not 30.
He's not 30. He's not 30 years old. And we're going to say maybe 29, you know, so when you say about 30. So we see that, you know, here is a sequence. Now we're going to go into the Gospel of John.
Well, I thought we were going back to Luke 3.
No. We just read to Luke. He's about 30.
All about.
Okay. That's just a little significant thing. Read what the Scripture says. And I heard Ken Copeland talking about it. He was 30 years old because you couldn't be a Levi unless you were 30 and on and on. Well, it says right here, he wasn't 30. I mean, how incredible that you can make statements like that. Removed. Now we're going to look at the sequence of events in John. There's nothing like this. So we know in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, agree. John does not agree at all. So we're going to start with John 1:28. And here is, these things in Bethany came to pass beyond the Jordan where John was immersing. And on the morrow he beheld Yahushua coming unto him and said, See the Lamb of Yahweh, who taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, and before me hath advanced, because my chief was he. We'll keep reading the 34. And I knew him not, but that he might be manifest unto Israel. Therefore I came in the water, immersing, and John, Yohanan, came bearing witness, saying, I have gazed upon the Ruach descending like a dove out of the heavens, and abode upon him. Okay, that's the grace of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to immerse in the water, he unto me said, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Ruach descending and abiding upon him, the same as he that immersed in the holy Ruach. I therefore have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of Yahweh. Now, what's the next verse?
He went into the temptation.
No. Yeah. No. What's the next verse? On the morrow. So now we got time. We got time. And we're going to see there is no
wilderness.
There's no wilderness. There is no 40 days and 40 life. And we're going to talk about 3 days occurred on the morrow. On the morrow again was John standing and from among his disciples too, and looking at Yahushua walking, he says, See the Lamb of God, Lamb of Yahweh. And the two disciples hearkened unto him speaking, and they followed Yahushua. Well, where was Yahushua? He went to the wilderness. For 40 days and 40 nights. This is not happening. But Yahushua turning and looking at them, following, said unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, what meaneth, when translated teacher, where abidest thou? And he said unto me, Be coming, and ye shall see. They came therefore and saw where he abode, and with him they abode that day. Well, that didn't happen. He was in the wilderness. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard from John and followed him was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. The same findeth first his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found the Messiah. Well, that didn't happen because he's in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. which is then translated anointed. He led him under Yahushua. Yahushua looking at him and said, thou art Simon, son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas. When he'll be translated Peter on the on the morrow. Okay?
2 days.
Now, this is day two. So we saw on the morrow in verse 35. There's a lot of reading, Wendy. That's why I'm going faster, because there's a lot of reading. But you have to say, okay, now, on the morrow, day two, he desired to go forth into Galilee, who? Yahushua. And Yahushua findeth Philip and said unto him, be following me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And you can read the rest about Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. He says, you are the Christ. He says, if you saw this, you're going to see a lot more. Yeah. And 51, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see heaven when set open, and the messengers of Yahweh ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And on the what day?
Third day.
Okay, so we know tomorrow, on the third day. Well, where was he on the third day after he got baptized?
In the wilderness
by himself. So on the third day, you have to say, no, this isn't, you know. And what is it? And it's the marriage in Canaan where he turns water into wine. Well, that didn't happen. Literally. Because he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He wasn't on the third day after his baptism, where he was never tempted of Satan and everything else. You know, so we were looking at it on the third day, and so all this is a figure, because it can't be taken literal. The marriage in Canaan, the first sign, and we could read all that, but everybody knows about it. And that's why it's not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. So none of this stuff is going to be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so when you start looking at the comparison of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's gap after gap after gap, because there's no record of any of this. Now we know in verse 11, this beginning of his signs did Yahushua in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Well, we know the next place that he goes, and after this he came down into Capernaum, he and his mother and brethren and his disciples, and their abode not many days. That could be true if he wasn't in the wilderness. But we know the next place, and near was the Passover of the Jews, and Yahushua went up unto Jerusalem. And so in other teachings we've realized, if you look at the word Jerusalem in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's only during the end of his ministry. So in the end of his ministry, he goes into Jerusalem where they murder him. So this, and when you're looking at here too, he turns over the table day 4 or 5 in Jerusalem. That didn't happen, because that's a figure of speech also, because he wasn't in Jerusalem. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he only went to Jerusalem once. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, ye that slay the prophets. That's why he didn't go to Jerusalem. Because he only went to Jerusalem because he was going to be murdered. So if he would have been there 9 times, everybody would have known what he looked like. You don't need Judas to give him a kiss to identify him to the mob. That's the guy. Well, we all know what he looks like. It'd be like, that's telling Obama, I know what Obama looks like, or Donald Trump, or anything else. So nothing else clicks when you start looking at this, in a situation. So we're going to look at the cleansing of the temple did not happen. And also in that temple situation was Nicodemus, chapter 3. Nicodemus was in the temple. Didn't happen because Yahushua was not in the temple. He was not in Jerusalem. Now, let's see here. Oh. So we know you must be born from above, and he goes to Nicodemus, And in verse 3:21, but he that doeth the truth cometh unto the light, and his works being manifest, that in Yahweh they have been wrought. Now, we know Yahushua went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's never in Jerusalem, except for one time, and he's murdered. Now, remember Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the sequence of events, he's immersed, he goes off by himself for 40 days and 40 nights, he comes to Galilee after who has been taken, delivered.
John.
John the Immerser. Well, we're going to find out here, John the Immerser is not taken up. Now watch this.
What? Where are you?
In verse 22.
22.
You know, after Nicodemus, you know, being in Jerusalem. After these things came Yahushua and his disciples into the Judean land, and there he tarried with them and immersing. So we realize, knowing that Matthew, Mark, or Luke, there is no immersing by Yahushua or this account. Nicodemus is not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. All the incidents we've covered so far have nothing to do with Matthew, Mark, or Luke. They are completely oblivious to them. And that's why people doubted many times the authenticity of this gospel.
Yeah, authenticity
of this gospel, because you see things like this. Well, wait a minute. If you go on a time scale, it completely contradicts the other three gospels. And John, who was immersing in Aeon near the Salem, because many waters were there, and we know that when he came back from the wilderness, where was John? He was in prison. So, this is now, he is, so we've got in the book of John, that he goes, he gets immersed, he makes disciples, right off the bat. There is no wilderness. There is no 40 days and 40 nights. He goes into Canaan, makes water into wine at a wedding. And it's always funny, too, because his mother said, well, whatever he says, do. Well, wait a minute here. That's really strange. His mother was in this particular case, was thinking that this guy could do miracles. And no other place does his mother ever look at that. In those situations. But here's the water and the wine. He goes to Jerusalem, turns over the table. At the beginning of his ministry, he goes to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was in Jerusalem, so that didn't happen. And now he's going into the Jordan again, and John's immersing instead of being taken captive by Herod.
Yeah, at the same time, there's no parallel.
Yeah, there's no parallel. And so watch what happens. For not yet had John been cast into prison. So if you look at verse 24, for not yet had John been cast into prison. Well, we know that John was delivered up
while he was
in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights.
40 days after he baptized him, he was in prison, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're looking at, well, he had to be within those 40 days and 40 nights that he was in the wilderness, because then when he came to Galilee, John had been delivered up. Well, John is not delivered up here, and not only is he not delivered up, there arose therefore a question from among the disciples of John with the Jews concerning purification. They came unto John and said unto him, and it goes all the way through here, right? Let's just say, yeah, right up to 4:1. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard Jesus more disciples is making and immersing than John, that has no bearing in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or anything.
Has he baptized anybody?
Him and his disciples were immersing. It's going to say, although indeed Jesus or Yahushua was not immersing, but his disciples, he left Judea, because he wasn't in Judea, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So you're looking at this whole end of chapter 3 all the way up to 4:3, and we know he was in Galilee. And the woman at the well could have happened, because it's not in Judea. And the woman at the well begins right after. Now he must need pass through Samaria, becoming therefore, or the woman at the fountain. Because that doesn't contradict Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Right? The only thing we could say is it had to be after the 40 days he was in the wilderness. So everything before cannot be real. It cannot be a reality because he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40
nights. Except it's more than a reality because it's the figure.
Yeah, so now you have to say, okay, so what it is it's either two things. It's not true.
Yeah.
Well, I believe it is true, the gospel, and people love John. Mm-hmm. So it has to be a figure. It has to be a parable. And that's where we're going to see what parables are, people's eyes are opened. And so our eyes should be open. I've been studying the Word for 50 years and never put this stuff together.
Yeah.
If you just read the Scriptures and did due diligence, everybody would know that none of this stuff can be. You can't reconcile the three books to one book.
Mm-hmm.
The one book has to be reconciled to the three agreeing testimonies. And we've got that right here, three agreeing testimonies all the way through there. And so Yahushua has only been in Jerusalem when he died, when he was murdered. And so anytime he, in the Gospel of John, that he's in Jerusalem, it cannot be. And that's the man born blind. He was in the temple, so that cannot be. And so what I've got is a list here. So I had to add this to...
Where are you going?
I'm just going to give you the figures. Okay. So, now chapter 135, this is after he was immersed, to 4:3 is all a parable.
Hmm.
It's a parable. Then we go into, let's see here.
135, we're on with the first disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, then I've got chapter 5, verse 1 through 47 is a parable, because he was in Jerusalem, which he cannot be in Jerusalem. Then, if you put that into your book, what is the other one? I should have had these written out.
What did you say that was what?
Five.
Yeah, 5, verse 1. And then you see right there, after these things was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up unto Jerusalem. Well, he was not in Jerusalem. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so from 5:1, the whole time he's in Jerusalem, he was not in Jerusalem. So that is a figure of speech. And then there's one other great part. Let me see where it is.
Chapter 7, verse 10.
Well, no. Do I have that? Yeah, the Feast of Booths, the figure, is chapter 7, verse 10. You're right.
Verse
2 is a figure because he went to the feast in Jerusalem. And so 7:10 to chapter 10, verse 39 is a figure. Because all this time he's in Jerusalem again and again and again and again. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all you got to do is to do this. And we've got a paper on this, and it's called the Gospel of John. You just go through Mark and write down every location that he was in. And then you go to Matthew, every location that he was in. And then you go to Luke, every location that he was in. And you're going to see all that agrees right here. So these are, and he's only in Jerusalem once. So by doing a search on the word Jerusalem, you're going to find that out. He's only in Jerusalem once. Why in John he's there? That's why they come up with 3.5 years instead of actually 6 months or less. So his ministry was 6 months or less. And why do we say that? We know in Matthew, Mark, and Luke he went to the Passover, and that is the third month. And the last festival was a festival of booths, which was the seventh month. And so, since he was never at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he was never at the Festival of Booths, which you had to be, every male had to be.
You break the law.
So what you've got is a 6-month time period between the Festival of Booths and Passover. And so Yahushua's ministry was not a year, it was not 3.5 years, it was 6 months or less, according to the scriptures. And we know it's only about 4.5 months because he was 40 days in the wilderness, which is about 1.5 months. So you're looking at a whirlwind situation where this, and all it took was that. 4.5 months of healing, and you've got thousands and thousands of people coming to you.
Yeah.
And you got your apostles and everybody else going out to them. And then it is, now I've got to fulfill my ministry by going to Jerusalem. And what's going to happen in Jerusalem? I'm going to be murdered. And you knew that. Now, back to parables, let's look at Matthew again, and to be able to say, well, how can that be, and how come nobody else mentions this? Because it really becomes blasphemy. You know, I think most people can't handle this. No matter what, they can't handle it. But so that's why it's...
So we do that with the book of Job. Everybody knows Job. Okay, it's...
But
it can't be literal.
But you can't, but with John, you've got to say this is, when you go to Billy Graham and them, they want you, if you become a Christian, they want you to read the Gospel of John. And no, what should you have read?
Luke.
And Acts. It goes right in there because it goes with the very foundation of John the Immerser, and Yahushua's birth and everything else. And they start off with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was flesh, and so forth. But we're looking at Matthew 13:3, and most people said he talked in parables to enlighten people. And we're going to find, no, it's just the opposite. 13:3, and he spake unto them many things in parables, saying, lo, the sower went forth to seed.
So,
okay. Now we go to 10:10-16.
Matthew 10:16.
Chapter 13. We're talking about parables now. The purpose of parables. Are parable literal?
No,
they're not literal. Are they truths?
Yes,
they are truths, but they're not literal. That's why they're called a parable. Are they meant to be understood? No. Why do we say that?
It's like a puzzle.
Yeah, let's look at 10, chapter 13, verse 10-16. You want to read that, Melania?
Yep.
And this will tell us the purpose of parables. Go ahead.
And the disciples coming near said to him, wherefore in parables art thou speaking to them? And he answering said, because unto you hath it been given to get to know the sacred secrets of the kingdom of the heavens, whereas unto them hath it not been given. For whosoever hath, it shall be given to him, and he shall be made to abound. But whoever hath not, even what he hath shall be taken from him. For this reason, in parables unto them do I speak, because seeing they see not.
Okay, wait a minute.
They do not hear.
So seeing they what?
See not.
Oh, interesting. Keep reading.
And they hear not, neither do they understand. And again is being fulfilled in them the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, they shall surely hear, and yet will not understand. They shall surely see, and yet not perceive. For the heart of this people hath become dense, and will their ears heavily hath heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their hearts should understand in return, wherein I would certainly heal them. But happy are your eyes that they see, and your ears that they hear.
Very simply. So that is something that anybody who has studied the scriptures, the only person who can get this is somebody who actually goes to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which on our paper, I've gone through every place, and you just track every city. You don't take my word for it, but you have to track your own cities to see that he did not go to Jerusalem until he was murdered. And we also know right off the bat is when he was immersed, everybody would say, where did he go after he was immersed?
into the
wilderness.
Yeah, wilderness. After he was immersed, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John goes tomorrow, and on the third day. There is no wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely a whole nother narrative.
Yeah.
And then he goes into Jerusalem the first time his ministry, and John, and he overthrows the table. Matthew and Mark, no recollection whatsoever of this. And all the rest of the papers, you'll see that the man born blind, there's no record of that. You know, you go on, and he's in Jerusalem at that particular time. And so, when you're looking at, you know, on the feast days, and his brothers said, if he's going up to the feast, he says, they don't believe in you, you don't believe in me, but I'm going up to the feast, and he went to the feast. And in John, Leonard doesn't know this, but in John, on other teachings, we know if you're called the Son of God or Mashiach, what was the offense on that?
The death penalty.
The death penalty.
Yeah.
And so he was not identified as the Mashiach or the Son of God, which is synonymous. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, until he was before the high priest, and he identified himself.
He always told everyone not to tell anyone.
In John, it happens in chapter 1.
Yeah.
It's all the way through the Gospel of John. And even in John chapter 10, let's just go with this. This is kind of redundancy for the sake. Remember, they were trying to find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke false testimonies, mm-hmm. and they couldn't find any. Well, guess what? In John 10, verse 22, the feast of dedication took place at that time in where?
Yes.
Jerusalem. Are there Hebrews in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Is this a festival day? Yes, it is. And in 31, the Jews again lifted up stones that they might stone him. Yahushua answered them, many works have I shown you, noble ones from my Father. Which of these are you stoning me? The Jews answering him, concerning a noble work are we not stoning you, but concerning profane speech, because thou being a man art making thyself a God. Now remember, the word A is never in Greek or in Hebrew. And so if they put it a man, and he's going to explain that he is a God. Jesus answering them, is it not written in your law, as I say, what?
Ye are
gods. If these he called gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, of him whom the Father hallowed and sent forth into the world, are you saying, thou speakest for family, because I said, what?
Son of God I am.
That is a death penalty.
Yeah, right there.
And he just said it in Jerusalem, but they don't do anything to him. Now, if you go into, you know, Matthew, you know, when he has been taken into Jerusalem, and Mark and Luke, the same situation.
Matthew what?
Well, I'll have to look it up, so I'm kind of on the fly right now. Matthew, let's see, what are we? That's 26. 59. Well, we know he was in Jerusalem. He just told everybody he's the Son of God. Now, the high priest and all the high council were seeking false witnesses against Yahushua that they might put him to death, and found not any, though many came forward as false witnesses. At length, however, there came forward two and said, this man said, I am able to pull down the shrine of God and in 3 days to build it. And the high priest arises and said unto him, nothing answerest thou, what are these against you bearing witness? But Yahushua was silent. And the high priest said unto him, I put thee on oath by the living God to say to us, thou say, whether thou art the what?
The
Mashiach, the Son of God. Here he told everybody it was. And so those statements would have had him stoned in Jerusalem and kept murdered at that particular time in the Gospel of John. This is the only time he's going to say it, except to Peter. Peter said, you are the Mashiach, and he says, yes, be quiet, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yahushua said unto him, Thou hast said, Moreover I say unto you, and then 65, then the high priest ran asunder his garment, saying, He has spoken profanely. What further need have we of witnesses? Now you have heard in profanity. How say you, or how do you, does it seem? And they answering say, Guilty of death he is. And so you go into Mark and Luke, you find out he only identifies himself as the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of God, is in the end of his ministry.
He's finished.
And yeah, it's finished. Mm-hmm. And John, it starts off in chapter 1. Everybody knows it. He met the woman at the well, or the woman at the spring, says, You are the Mashiach. I mean, so everybody was spreading out the Mashiach. So that was on day, the first year of his 3.5 year ministry, and John, which that would have been through the countryside, and he would have been put to death. So if you look at Son of God and the Gospel of John, it's all the way through there. Christ, it's all the way through there. And so that which cannot be.
No.
Yeah, it cannot be.
Why is it there?
Because these are lessons, and you have to say, okay, these are lessons. Yahweh put it in here, and you're like, wow, you know, this is concerning, because a lot of people might doubt the scriptures, because once this is apparent, so it's only for the advanced individuals who know that, okay, open my eyes, and then I can ask, you know, the lesson upon lesson upon lesson upon lesson of what these are, the narratives, which are parables. In that particular case, and when it agrees, obviously he was crucified, he was baptized, you know, so there's about probably 5 or 6 places where John agrees with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or does not contradict that.
Excellent.
But we're going to see Son of God. Now this is very, very unusual. Not unusual, it's just absolutely. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, let's just go to Matthew.
Son of man, there.
26. The phrase, Son of God. Because if anybody, we got to realize, he never told people he was the Son of God in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only one person, when he said, Peter, who am I? And he says, You are the Messiah, which means Son of God. And he said what?
Keep it a secret.
Right?
And the woman at the fountain.
No, that's in John.
Okay.
See, we're going to see that. Yeah, we're going to see a whole different situation. Because by saying he's the Son of God, that is death penalty.
That's what?
Death penalty.
Death penalty.
Yeah.
Because we look at Matthew 26, 59. Let me see here. And the high priest and all the high council were seeking false witness against Yahushua, that they might put him to death, and found not any, though many came forward as false witnesses. Okay, we're going to come back here. I'm diverting a little bit. Go to John, hold your finger right here. Nobody could get a witness on him, right? John 10.
Bless you.
36. He's in Jerusalem, remember? He did, you know, according to John 10:36, it says, whom the Father hallowed and sent forth into the world, are you saying that I speak as profanity? Because I say what? What?
Son of God I am.
He just told all of Jerusalem that he's the Son of God. These guys never heard it. They're looking for witnesses. Let's go back to Matthew. They're just looking for witnesses, and they can't find a witness. Or here you just had maybe 1,000 people just heard him say he's the Son of God, and that's the death sentence. And that's what's going to happen. Watch. Let's go back to Matthew 60, 59 again. And now the high priest and all the high council were seeking false witnesses against Yahushua. They didn't need false witnesses. Here he said it in Jerusalem, according to John, that they might put him to death, and found not any, though many came forward as false witnesses. At length, however, there came forward two and said, This man said, I am able to pull down the shrine of Yahweh and in 3 days rebuild it. And the high priest saying unto him, nothing answering now, what are these? against thee bearing witness, and Yahushua was silent. And the high priest said unto him, I put thee on oath by the living God that to us thou say, whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Right? In the Gospel of John, it's everywhere. He's saying he's the Son of God through the whole book.
Yeah.
We're going to see that. Watch what happens. Yahushua said unto him, thou hast said, moreover, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming upon the clouds of heavens. Then the high priest rent asunder their garments, saying, he has spoken profanely. What further need have you witnesses? Lo, now have you heard this black profanity? How do you does this seem? And they answered him, guilty of death he is. Right there. What did he say? He confirmed that he was
Son of God.
Son of God. This is the only time he does it. And Matthew.
We're in Matthew.
Yeah, I know. There's only two usages of Son of God. One is a demon, we always saw, and he tells them to do what?
Be quiet.
Shut up. You would bind them. And this is the other usage. So the word Son of God is only two usages in Matthew. In Mark 14. Verse 55. We're running a little late, so let me, but it's really 55 through 64 instead of reading all that. Let's just see, 61, same thing. And when he is silent and answered nothing, again the high priest was questioning him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Christ is synonymous with Son of God. And Yahushua said, what? I am. And the high priest, 63, and the high priest, having rent asunder their inner garment, said, what further need have we of witnesses? Hear ye the profanity, what do you do now appear? And they all condemned him to be worthy of death. So just the term, claiming to be the Christ, the Son of God, was death. Okay, there are two usages this is Christ and not the Son of God. You see, they say Son of the Blessed, so it doesn't say Son of God. There are two usages of Son of God in Mark. Both of them are by demons. That's Mark 3:11 and then verse 57. Now we go to Luke 22:66. I won't read it all. There's four usages. Let's just go right down to 70. And they all said, thou then art the Son of God. And he said unto them, and he unto them said, ye say I am because I am.
You say it because I am.
And then they say the same thing. So you got four usages. One messenger is talking about the child will be the Son of God. And you have two demons. And then this particular case. Now when you go into the Gospel of John, so remember, the only time he says he's the Son of God is when he's ready to be murdered. Right?
Yeah.
And where's he going to be murdered? In Jerusalem. Well, John has him in Jerusalem for years, saying he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
We're going to see here, and let's go to...
I always wonder why you rebuke the demons.
Yeah, John 10.
It looks like they're honoring him. They're actually trying to get him killed.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, yeah.
Why would you tell him to be quiet?
Okay, so 10, I don't know if we have time to do this. But it's really John 10:22-39, very important. Right there, where is he? On verse 22.
Jerusalem.
The feast of dedication took place at that time in Jerusalem. It was winter. That's December 25th. And Yahushua was walking in the temple in the porch of Solomon. There he is, right there in the middle of the Jews. And you, if you read the whole things, verse 33, the Jews answering him, concerning a noble work are we not stoning thee, but concerning profane speech, because thou being a man art making thyself an Elohim. Yahushua answering them, one other point to make note to everybody, the word a or an, which we call the indefinite article, is never in Greek or Hebrew. There's no such thing. So anytime you see the word a or an, it's been added by man, which is fine. That's how we speak. But they'll say right here, because thou being a man, art making thyself God. No. You gotta put the word a, God. Because this is what we're talking about.
Now what verse are you going
to? Yeah, verse 33. But they don't put an A in front of God, and they make it capital G instead of small g.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to explain this to you. And Yahushua answering them, is it not written in your law, I say you are what?
Elohims.
Gods, Elohims. He just said men are called Elohims. If those he called Elohims unto whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, on him whom the Father hallowed and sent into the world, are you saying thou speakest profanely, because I say, son of Elohim or son of God, I am? So he just did this in Jerusalem. Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, no evidence whatsoever. There's no witnesses at his crucifixion. There's no witnesses by the high priest. But it's right here. It's completely done in Jerusalem, probably a year before. It was already done. So, let's go John 1:34. Here's John the Immerser. I therefore have seen and borne witness that this is the what?
Son of
God. That's the beginning of the book of John. Verse 49. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, thou art the what?
Son of God.
Son of God. Thou art King of Israel. 3:18. Okay. And he that believeth on me is not to be judged. He that believeth not already has been judged, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's calling himself right there the Son of God. 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there cometh an hour, and now is, when the dead shall hearken unto the voice of the Son of God. Let me see here. 11:4. Chapter 11, verse 4. And this is Mary, Lazarus' sister. 11:27. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Alright? 19:7. The Jews. 19:7. The Jews answering him, We have a law, and according to the law he ought to die, because Son of God himself he made, which is the Messiah. And then we have Yahweh called him Son of God in 20:31. Let's just look at the word Christ too, the woman at the fountain, John 4. Then we go to 4. 4:25. The woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh who is called Christ, the Messiah, or Son of God. Whatsoever he shall come, he will tell us everything. Yahushua said unto her, what? I that speak unto thee am he. He just identified himself. Remember, the only person in Matthew, Mark, and Luke knew him as Christ was who?
Peter.
So Nathanael, when that's in there, that's foreign. You know, all the apostles, Peter's the only one who spoke up. And that was at the end of his ministry. Let's see. Oh. So, finished up, he went, entered into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Let's finish up there. As king of Israel, son of David, maybe we don't have time, I'll just go, you know, we're all familiar with that, the laying down the cloaks, the laying down the palms.
Palm Sunday.
Yeah, and so Matthew 21, 1 through 11, Hosanna, son of David, entering into Jerusalem. This is the only time. If he was entering nine times, what happened to the rest of these? Mark 11, 1 through 10. It's called the kingdom of our father David. The king was the family of David. Luke 19, 29 to 38. He comes in the name of, he said, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. John, and John 12 is right on this. So John 12 is correct. So it goes back into line with the other. So if you ever look at, which we've done before, in our paper on John, the Gospel of John, on the last page, it will show you how Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree. But John's not there. So there's three books that show you the basic course of them agreeing and agreeing and agreeing. And John, and the people trying to reconcile John, they can't. And so people had trying to force a round peg into a square hole. But John 12, and on the morrow the great multitude that had come unto the feast, this is the Passover he's actually at, hearing that Yahushua was coming into Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm tree, went out to meet him, and began crying aloud, Hosanna, blessed is he that is coming in the name of Yahweh, even the King of Israel. And Yahushua, finding a young ass, took his seat thereon, just as written, Do not fear, O daughter of Zion. Lo, thy king cometh, sitting upon the colt of an ass. That is it.
Yeah, but why is John like this?
It's like a different book.
Yeah, and so it's
a gospel.
Yeah, and so it's telling a different narrative, and we have to say, well, that's great. You know, it's just presenting things, but it can't be literal.
What's its purpose?
Well, it's telling you story. I think no different than
the rich man Lazarus.
Yeah, the rich man Lazarus. How about the forgiving father?
Prodigal son.
Yeah, the prodigal son. You know, I mean, it's just one thing after another. The 10 virgins who lost their they had candles or their lamps. So you go on and on and on, and so there's always a great message. Actually, you even bring more of it, but you've got to realize that literally didn't happen. And so if you don't write those things down and do the research, you have to go through each book of Matthew, which we've got on our site, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And here's where it goes. And if you just look up the word Jerusalem on a word processor, it will show you. It's only here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when you get to John, it's all over the place. So that can't be, because Jerusalem is a wicked, 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 wicked place. Where prophets get slain. Well, obviously I'm not going to go to Jerusalem until I'm going to get what?
Killed.
Slain. See, they've got him in, and John, first day, showed up Jerusalem and knocked over the table. Well, how is that going to go? Calling yourself the Son of God, And throwing the table over in chapter 2.
And a mess in the temple.
Yeah, in the temple. This is your introduction. And Nathaniel called you the Son of God. John the Baptist is calling you the Son of God. So you got a whole crowd saying, here's the Son of God. Well, that is death penalty. As we saw in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you're like, well, this didn't happen. But you have to start thinking, okay, Father wrote the book.
Yeah.
And so it's two things. Either the book should not be there, and Father didn't write it, or he wrote it, and it's an enigma that we have to say, wow. And I know he did write it because it coordinates so many different things, but these other parts you've got to realize, the occasion of Nicodemus didn't happen because he was in Jerusalem. That's not in there. So if you don't write down these brackets and see where he's in Jerusalem,
yeah,
you know, the man born blind didn't happen, you know, and so it goes on and on and on. But there are great learning events, because on the man born blind, what was the message? They say, "Are we blind?" He says, "If you said you were, you're blind, you might be able to see. But now you say you see, so you're blind." And so there's always this stuff. What was the message with Lazarus, the rich man Lazarus?
They don't believe Moses and the prophet. They won't believe a man raised from the dead.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with
hell and heaven.
It has everything to do with the Pharisees being lovers of what?
Money.
Money. So this parable was to the Pharisees who were there listening in Luke 16. And then the end of it is they were asking the parable, you know, rise somebody from the dead and tell my brothers not to come here. And he said, if you won't believe Moses and the prophets, you're not going to believe if somebody was raised from among the dead. And so our same thing today, if people are not going to believe this book, all right, I can do nothing with them.
Right.
Next person, go on, shake the dust off your feet.